This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Johnny and Arnell, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, 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 you're listening correctly. It's Johnny and Arnell, live from the Fringe.
Johnny and Arnell, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Why did you press it again?
Well, because they need to hear from that guy. Over you. You get a bit excited, so I have to undercut it with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was giving people the energy. That's what it is.
Yeah, there is time for energy. There's also time for stings, pre-prepared.
Doing the admin work there, are we?
Absolutely, absolutely. We like to add that little feel for it. What did I say? It was yesterday, like a kind of kids' TV kind of vibe, isn't it?
Johnny
Lionel! Yeah!
Blue Bar Radio!
It's like that guy is in a ball pond.
Well, this is a special episode today.
Is it, Arnell?
Yeah, this is the last Edinburgh show.
Wow. Ooh. Wow, there's not a dry eye in the house.
I know, look
to
at
be fair, no one cares.
For those that are listening, there's hundreds and hundreds of people where...
Yeah, yeah.
In sitting fact, in front of us live
in
audience.
In fact, I think I can hear them. Stop it, guys. Come
Stop.
On. Yeah,
Stop.
Honestly. It's great that you can turn
I know
up.
It's the last one, but...
Yeah. Don't blow an air horn, sir. Do not put the air horn down, sir.
It's too early for the horn.
Why in the world is someone getting on the drums? Yeah. I do not know. This is absolutely insane. Get him out of there. So, yeah, everyone knows that we were telling the truth there. There's loads of people.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what it is. It's a popular show.
Absolutely, I know. So let's have a little recap. We're Johnny and I now. We'll do Johnny and I now live and loud on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, we do.
But this is a special edition because this is our second time that we're doing it live from the Fringe, mm-hmm. Edinburgh Fringe, and it's the last Fringe one today.
It is.
Are you feeling somber about it, or are you just...
Do you know what? I'm feeling quite psyched because I am so excited about the guests that we got on today. We got some fantastic guests.
Yeah, we have, yeah. It's like kind of long... It's a long time coming, some of these guests.
Yeah, it has been.
It's a kind of a unification of a lot of our dreams that are going to come true today. So that's exciting.
All
stuff.
In the next hour. So,
anything happened to you since yesterday, Arnell?
Yesterday did my Edinburgh show, Kinetic Comedy, for the first time. We're only here for 3 nights.
Nice.
We're doing it again tonight, and you're on as well.
I am on, and it's only taken us 3 minutes to get a plug in.
There we
for
go.
Some of our own stuff.
Don't forget, take it out at Cowgate.
Yeah,
do
come down. Seriously,
level 40 at night. Okay.
No, I don't. Do you know what I did realise as well? Just Edinburgh's weather is just something else.
Stop, start. That's why I'm wearing a hoodie with no sleeves. That's why it's basically but best of both worlds.
You've got Transformer clothes.
I've got a hood, but I got a t-shirt on, so it's summer at the same time. See?
Oh, right, yeah.
That's how you got to roll like that.
That helps when it rains, does it? Wet arms.
Helps my head, though. Chill in my arms.
Do you know what?
Johnny and Arnell, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Spencer.
That kid sounds like a bit of a...
He hasn't worked his ranking out.
Stuck up. Piece of work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the sort of fans he has.
But they think you have like...
I thought you'd have like scum like you.
Do you think I draw scum? Is that what you...
I do. And I see a lot... Thanks for coming to the show, everybody. I do get quite a lot of scum, and then I thought you'd get scum as well. I mean, I'm scum. I'm still drunk now, which isn't ideal.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what I mean? I mean, you're not going to call your fans scum, though, are you?
No, we're not. But you've started. Fantastic. Ian Sterling, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming out. Okay, Ian, that was...
I didn't mean to say that.
No, well, you can't take it back.
I regret it.
Speak to your legal representatives. We don't want to hear anymore, correctly. But we do. What we do have is we have the big questions.
The big questions.
Big questions. Okay, are you ready for this?
Yes.
Because you've been on before, haven't you? And you dealt with it then, which was quite something. But today it's going to get even harder.
No way.
Okay. First question.
What would you do if you were recognised in Selfridges?
Yes, exactly. I'll be taking that note in your answers. Right. If you were on a desert island, what's the one item you would bring?
Just one.
This is a big question, isn't it?
I heard like an in-gasp there. Just, it was like from the audience. It's like, I don't even know
desert
where
Desert island, one thing. Like a boat. And you could escape
a boat.
A boat, and then you could get off the island.
Yeah, you're trying to defeat the object of it, aren't you? maybe I'll just have teleportation powers and just go back home. No, right.
So I'm stuck on the island.
Yeah. I'm stuck on it.
So I'm making no effort whatsoever to leave the island.
Well, you.
Well, if anything, you're enjoying the weather. It's, you know, it's a nice little atmosphere. You know, you've got water and stuff like that. And it's like, you know what? I like it here. I just need one more thing.
Right.
Now you're getting in debt with this now. Like, I can see.
A bottle of rum. I quite like rum in the sun.
Right. Yeah. You can see he's had a drink last night. That's the first thing that comes to
mind. But what? You said I've got food and water. I'm on an island.
So, yeah.
On the beach, a little bit of rum. On the rocks, is there a fridge in the island?
There's not going to be a fridge now. I mean,
well, I'll have a fridge. Oh no, then I wouldn't have. If I have the fridge, I'm not. I'll have the rum.
Right. Okay. Do you ever feel like you've just started speaking to someone in Wetherspoons about what they take? That's where this has gone.
I tell you what, Cameron. Right. I tell you, what, I could do that job sat on my head. Honestly.
Nice. So you'd think. The bottle of rum.
What have other people said then?
Well, that's a big question. That's been specifically tailored for yourself, sir. To really, you know.
A book.
Right, nice.
Oh, a book written by Jane Austen.
We're basically like an eHarmony personality profile test. So, you know, you're putting out what kind of person you are here, you know, and you've come from being alcoholic to literate. So, you've upgraded there.
Not much. A lot of famous authors were.
Yeah.
Heavy drinkers.
Oscar Wilde was, wasn't he?
Oscar Wilde.
Banged the absinthe quite a lot.
He loved a bit of absinthe. Robert Rabbi Burns, our national poet laureate. He liked to drink.
Yeah, good stuff. Whenever you say Rabbi Burns.
J.K. Rowling, pissed all the time.
Those are unsubstantiated rumours.
How do you think Harry got his scar?
Can we just do our legal thing there? The views expressed by Ian Sterling do not represent that of Johnny on the show. We'll get sued. No, that's awesome. Have you got a big question, Inel?
I do have a big question. Right. Ian, who was your first crush at school?
Oh, well, famous person or like person at school.
Anyone you like.
Right. There was a girl called Lisa in my school who was lovely and owned a horse, and that blew my mind.
Whoa, hold on. She owned a horse?
Yeah, her mum ran a stable or something. And I couldn't believe someone owned a horse. I didn't know that.
So you were attracted to her because she owned a horse?
She was a good looking lass and like nice person, but she had a horse.
So that was like the bonus that just
mate,
like,
it's like a
it over
massive dog, isn't it? And like it's really quality. No one owned a horse. No one where I lived owned a car. She had like a car with knees. It's quality. So horse, and then my first crush though was Keira Knightley in the film Bend It Like Beckham.
Yeah.
Mate. Oh. Played football. Went to the scene when she went shopping for a sports bra. I nearly exploded. With joy, not in a rude way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Your teenage years.
Yeah, man.
So that's your
thing. Lisa for civilian.
Yeah.
And Keira Knightley and Bend Like Beckham was my first.
I'm sure Keira owns a horse anyway, didn't she?
I've never seen civilian. What's civilian about?
No,
she's a civilian.
Civilian.
Oh right, I thought you meant the film civilian. Oh right.
I don't know. I don't know if there even is a film civilian, to be honest. There you go. Seamless. So, we as I said, we've done a bit of children's TV. You've done a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another guest here today who's done a bit of kids' TV.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's time to get them on.
Oh, yes. I mean, let's get those drums rolling, shall we?
Absolutely. Oh, please do. Geezer on the drum. There we go. Yeah, there we go.
Please welcome to FUBAR Radio. It's none other than Dave Benson Phillips. There we go.
Is this on? Oh, it is. Right, hello, everyone.
It is. Welcome.
Just doing a couple of air horns for you, Dave.
Oh, it's a bit warm up here, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I've just got to take this off. I like the air horns, by the way.
Yeah, proper carnival vibe, mate.
There we go.
Definitely. So, I mean, if there was a bigger collection of children's TV legends anywhere assembled in the world, I don't know where, it is.
This literally is a CBBC assemble.
Yeah. Basically, for us guys, it's like this is what we can become. So this is the this is.
What you mean, fat and 50? Yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't. I did not make.
I'm not 50.
No. This is what we have to look forward to. So, so Dave, you were the sensational host of the wonderful game show Get Your Own Back. Your Own Back. Get my words out.
Yeah.
Get your words out.
So I watched that growing up. So how long did that? What years did that run from?
That ran for just nigh on 14 years. So we started it sort of late. We started early 90s, and we ended it around about 2005. Mm. So it was only about 10 years ago when it really sort of ended, unofficially. So it's still kind of in stasis. So at some point it may or may not come back, depending on what happens. But yeah, it was a 14 very lovely years.
But that's what I mean. I mean, because like, me and Johnny get recognised, and I'm sure Ian does, like, just on a daily basis. But you must, for the amount of time you've been doing the show for, and it's a legendary show that, I mean, you've got people that I used to watch it when I was a kid, and now you've got kids that just grown up just like 10 years ago watching it when then. I mean, how does that feel?
Well, that whole thing about recognition, I can put that into a cocked hat straight away. Mm. Most people come up to me and they will say, oh, yeah, it's you that does the telly program. Sometimes they don't remember. Mm. A lot of the times they think I do Ready, Steady, Cook.
Green peppers.
Or the best one now is when I go, like, when I'm doing sort of gigs and I sometimes have to say, a certain hotel establishment, they assume that I'm Lenny Henry, which has been great. And about
that's probably because you're wearing purple as well. Well,
doesn't help. I'll tell you, I've had about 5 free stays actually because they thought, I think Len's got some sort of deal with this particular hotel chain. That's what I'm saying.
A couple of flings with Dawn French in there as well.
Oh, bless. I'll tell her you said that because I talk to her often.
I can't get stitched up today, aren't I? Send my love to Dawn. She don't know me.
That's Stop it.
So, like, genuinely, one of the other children's TV legends who gets loads of work. I remember being Pat Sharp, right? Who done Funhouse. Mm. Now that show was wicked as well.
I remember
Get Your Own Back. Remember Funhouse.
Yeah.
But I remember when I went to university, Pat Sharp was showing up at the local Jumpin' Jacks, just getting on stage, going, "Who wants the WKD?" A bunch of us were smashed, trying to remember our childhood. Going, "I remember him." You've got that to look forward to as well, I guess. Is that what you do?
Well, I've got to admit, I have entertained at certain unis. So we've taken our travelling version of Get Your Own Back to certain student universities, and I've got to admit, it is, like you say, it's a raucous night. We don't promote any drinks ourselves. You know, ours is always good, clean fun, with the exception of the gunge. But you are talking about, you go, "Oh, there, my name's Dave Benson from Ipswich. Who's seen me on shows like Play Days?" They go, "Who's seen me on Fun Song Factory?" And I say, "Who's seen me on Get Your Own Back?" And that's about as far as I get. I don't even get to say Get Your Own Back. And it's just like, "Aah!" And these are students who not too long ago were children. Mm. Who are now introduced to the university life. They have a grant and they have alcohol, and it's a bit of a scary one. But yeah, it's cool. It's a cool thing. So I've done a few of those.
It sounds like the adult people want the adult version more than the childhood version.
Do you know what?
What do we need to do to get this adult version on?
You
TV?
See, you're saying that right now, and I'm actually beginning to think that way as well, because when Anton, who's the producer of the Get Your Own Back live show, approached me about doing this, all I wanted to do was, I was actually quite reluctant about doing it because, you know, Get Your Own Back is an iconic game show, and I don't know if you have read my sort of social networking profiles or anything like that, or my net worth. There's a lot of people out there who think I'm quite naff, and they're very highly organized in their ways of telling me how naff I am. For instance, you know, they told me I was dead in the car crash and all that lot. Everyone believed it.
There's like an internet rumour?
Made something up. You woke up one day and went, apparently I'm dead on the motorway.
Oh, it was worse than that. Didn't work for 8 years. Anyway, look, the fact of the matter was, I'm glad you can all laugh about it now because it's genuine.
oh God!
But so
people started out rumors. Hold up, people started out rumors saying that you're dead, and that's how you haven't got work.
Yeah, quite literally.
Wow.
Because when you're applying for jobs, they go, "Oh God, I think there's a seance taking place."
well, not like that. But it was back in the days when people were still getting to grips with social networks and stuff like that, and everybody believed what they read. Anyway, so by and large, cut to several years later, I get asked by Anton, would I like to bring the show back in some way, shape or form? And I kind of done it in universities in the past, and it was kind of okay. But I was so worried about doing it justice, because when you're on a stage and you're sharing it with other acts and you only have an hour and you have a gunge tank, you have gunge, you have games going left, right and centre and people playing them, it's quite an interesting thing to get on and off a stage in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So we had to do everything that way to help out the logistics. Sorry, this is getting really technical now for people.
Oh, no.
You guys are really witty. And you make people laugh, and the whole audience is thinking, God, we're in a lecture room and it's a lecture.
A lecture on gunge.
With a drunk man calling people scum.
They are FUBAR Radio, ladies and gents. So we had to do justice to the memory of Get Your Own Back, because it is such an iconic show.
Yeah.
So long-winded answer was, we had to sit down, think about the games, the grown-ups involved, and the gunge. Mm. So those were the three things that we got, and then we kind of built everything else around it. And the only thing that we needed in our audience was children to watch it. So what we had throughout the entire season here at Edinburgh is just wall-to-wall adults.
Just watching the show. But did you do that show thinking it was going to be a kid's show, or did you do the show thinking people that watch on the television will come along?
I thought it would have been families. So you would have had a mixture of adults and children coming along to see the show and seeing somebody get gunged, and it would be a fun and shared experience for young and old alike. So like I said, yeah, we're doing our shows and we'll be sort of absolutely packed to the rafters with adults, and there'll be about 8 or 9 children in, and that's it. They had a great time as well, but it's loads of people who watched it growing up during the 90s, people like your kind of age, coming in and sitting down and having a great time.
Is this gunging something you take home to your own parenting style? Like, if you've messed up, do you go, "Dad's going in the gunge tank, okay? Get your own back."
No, okay.
That is the look of a man that's been asked that question too many times.
I thought I was being original.
If you want to get your own back on him, ask him how he got into comedy, because that's what we get all the time as a comedian.
Oh, really?
Everyone goes, "How do you get into comedy?" Or, "What would you be if you're not a comedian?"
Oh, that must bore you to tears, that question.
Well, I was like, well, I am a comedian. Do you know what I mean? It's weird. You wouldn't have your plumber come round and go, "Oh, by the way, mate, what would you be if you weren't a plumber?" And I was like, "Well, I am a plumber." An astronaut? I don't know. I'm going to fix your U-bend.
But there is a rumour as well. There's a rumour going around.
Yes.
I don't know even how to say this, that you are actually Inel Tomlinson's real dad.
Yeah. So when I've been growing up in school, everybody in our school
watched
your show.
I'm not laughing at you because you're a handsome guy,
everybody watched your show.
Yep.
And I have a similar laugh to yours.
Yes.
And everybody say, "You look like me," and I've grown up. I want to know, are you my dad?
This is kind of awkward, but I mean,
hey, this will settle a lot for me.
Yeah, we do look kind of similar. We've got a similar sort of size ear.
That's what I'm saying.
That's nice, man. So, family? Do they hail from Barbados or anything?
West Indies? You tell me.
Okay, I'm trying to work this through. Right, okay, here we go. So, South London? Did you hang out? Did your mother hang out in any dance halls?
Brixton,
I'll have to ask my mum. She is here at the Fringe. So
if she comes up to me and says, "Yeah, I'm..."
She's got 18 years of support.
So how old are you?
Where were you?
How old are you, mate?
Where was you 30 years ago?
If I meet a lady who says, "I haven't seen you in what, over 30 odd years, over 31 years," I go, "Yeah, that's right.
Yeah?
Time for me to get out."
Look at that. Oh,
that's what I'm saying. He sounds like me.
He looks like me.
Double gangers.
I'm obviously not in a position to say that you two are the same.
And the thing is, is what this would be amazing is now we've established that Dave is actually Inel's real father. You have the perfect opportunity to get your own back, Inel. Get the gunge out.
It took about 4 minutes, but we got there.
Yeah. Where were you when I was growing up,
Dutch? That and some money to help me get through lunch.
Yeah, all right. I've got to admit, this has been the strangest radio program I've been on for quite some time.
That's what we're quite pleased with.
Well, it's been strange for you. It's been strange for me.
Well, anyway, I've been there. Daddy! It's like, yeah, all right.
So, Dave, you probably just heard when we were talking to Ian there that we are renowned for asking the big question.
Big question. Well, after that question, I can't imagine how big this question is.
I mean, are you my father?
That's today's big question.
Hold on, but you still haven't answered the question.
The answer.
Well, don't try to get out of it, man. I need to know.
Look. No, it's all right. Did you ever do university?
I did.
Well, in that case, can't be mine then. No, I'm daft as a brush.
Yeah, but I did drum and theatre studies though, so you know.
Oh, cool, shut up.
It's true.
Oh, this is going to be awkward.
Can I just say, as a man with a hangover, why did you just bring donuts and leave them there?
Oh, I have one if you want.
These are for you guys. These treats are for you.
No way.
Yeah.
I've got to admit,
I better eat the chocolate ones quick because they're cooking underneath these lights.
So, Dave.
Yeah.
It's time for a big question.
Big question.
If you had a dinner party with three guests. Alive or dead as well.
Okay.
Who would they be and what would you cook?
Oh, right. Okay. Bruce Forsyth is one. Jim Henson is the other. Sigourney Weaver.
Ooh.
That is
Sigourney.
A real spread, isn't it?
Why Sigourney?
I absolutely adore the woman. I don't know why.
Was it performance in Ghostbusters? Is that what it was?
No, it wasn't.
Alien.
Or an Alien.
I'm telling you, because it was one of those things when I'm a big fan of those films. Mm. And originally, when Ridley Scott was actually directing them, the role of Ridley was to be played by a man. Mm. And for some reason, he had been shown this photograph of this lady, very beautiful, very characterful, had some experience of acting on film and on stage. Mm. And he kind of went, I'm going to go with a gamble. And if you think about it, at the time, you know, women to be in a role of an action movie or a horror movie like that, who wasn't screaming, who wasn't being attacked and sort of all the bit, was quite a big deal. And I remember watching that and being stunned. I mean, for me then, also when she went on to do Aliens, which is the one, of course, where they land with the military platoon to wipe everybody out. That's a great role for a woman, isn't it?
It's so weird. Like, you watch people growing up on TV, and now you get to see who they actually fancy. And it's Sigourney Weaver, that's it.
Do you know what? It really is unusual.
No, I can understand your choice.
I can understand. You like Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
The way he pulled that lever, I can tell. I know.
I can understand that choice, because especially with Aliens, because it was such a kind of testosterone-heavy film in terms of like everyone's got massive guns and stuff.
That's
like that,
the
and
one.
Everyone's going around shooting aliens, and then you still have her in the midst of that, and she. And looking at and being almost like a surrogate mother, kind of looking after.
That's right. And of course, that pivotal scene where she gets the character Ripley gets hold of the little girl and walks her backwards through all of the aliens' eggs. Mm. Where so she's being surrogate mother, and then of course the alien mother herself, sort of giving it and everything else, and that whole tense moment
Ian,
with the flamethrower.
Do you ever feel like you've stumbled on some father son time?
I really do.
Shall we leave them to it?
Yeah.
Dave, what are you doing after this?
Mate, just...
I'm on a train back to London.
Might have to explain to Mrs. Phillips and my son Benji.
You've now got an older brother.
Do you know what? He would be all over you like a naughty boy on a climbing frame. He is... He is at that age.
That's the greatest analogy I've ever heard of myself.
So hold on. Actually, aliens and all that slime, is that where the idea from Get Your Own Back came from?
No, I wished it was. I have been approached about doing other horror films since then. So it's a really weird thing. So when I was in my enforced rest, as it were, people used to get me in to do sort of horror effects, blood effects, slime effects, gunge effects, anything gory and messy. Yeah. But watching Aliens, that first one, with the teeth coming out. That was, I've looked it up, it was actually KY Jelly.
Was it?
It was KY Jelly.
So it was Vaseline.
Well, yeah, and it was. And you can tell because it's
KY Jelly because they use it on like puppets with like latex because I used to work with a puppet.
Yeah.
Like all the latex nose, you want to make a doll look it's got a wet nose, you
that's
use
right.
KY
you
jelly.
You use KY.
Because something like Vaseline will erode the latex.
That's right. So, yeah, so KY is very rubber and latex friendly.
Which means, yeah, so all your favourite Muppets of all time have had KY jelly rubbed over them. Oh, yeah. Which is horrible.
I see them in a whole new light now.
There you go, people. You've learned something else again.
Yeah, yeah. See,
it's a lecture. Every time we do something, it's a lecture, isn't it?
The knowledge of these... kids' TV personalities of KY jelly is quite alarming. You should move that. Everyone in kids' TV seems to know about KY jelly. I didn't know that. new to the business. So.
You're not part of the KY club, are you?
Not yet, no.
That was, I mean, I never thought Dave Benson thought that. This has been really, I've really enjoyed myself. Yeah,
just turned into a...
It started weird and I've enjoyed it since about 5 minutes ago.
As a man with a hangover under hot lights, this is just tripping out now, aren't you?
Yeah. I think I've gone insane.
Do you know what, guys? It's time to get our next guest on.
Oh, more guests.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we ain't stopping here. We've got some absolutely sensational guests still to come.
Yeah.
More veterans.
I don't think this person's done any kids' TV, but we'll ask her in a second. Geezer on the drums back, isn't he?
Hey? Oh, here he is.
Geezer on the drums back. Guys, please go wild. Make some noise for Kai Hoffman.
Woohoo!
A touch of glamour to the proceedings.
There we go. You dressed up for radio.
I did. I always. I can't seem to dress in anything else these days. I don't know. Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, very.
Thank you.
It's great, weird.
Great I sort of feel weird, you know. I've come in at a really awkward moment in the conversation.
Yeah, you're walking into a vibe.
And my name kind of sounds like KY, and I was just sort of sitting there going, no, no.
I could have gone with KY Hoffman. And
I'm really glad you didn't.
No, awesome. Well, great to have you on the show anyway. Yeah, it is a bit trippy, but...
it is. I mean, we got father-son action over here and then a drunk man over there.
Yeah.
I don't know why I chose to sit next to the drunk one. Yeah.
All right. I've got a name, mate. I'm a CBBC veteran. A kid once recognised me in Argos.
Said, why are you shopping here still, mate?
Sat next to the drunk one. What? I'm not even getting paid to be here. Ridiculous.
We paid
thing.
Him in beer yesterday. Don't
no,
worry
you
about
didn't.
It.
You didn't. No, you're not paying me at all.
It's a lie. He's called us out. It is a lie. Definitely. Cheers for coming. Though.
That's any time, mate.
You could have come to next week as well.
No, absolutely couldn't.
So, Kai, absolutely wonderful to have you on the show. Now, you are a singer.
That's right, yeah.
Inspired by 50s music, is that right? Say that. So you're a jazz singer, right?
Yeah. We're on the radio, so they can't see. I'm dressed. I always wear sort of 1950s clothes. I grew up watching Hollywood movies and just fell in love with that whole thing. And I think between that and being American, like, I love Halloween. So I've always loved dressing up in costumes, and I sort of thought, you know what, I'm going to do that all the time, and no one's going to stop me.
Awesome.
So here we are.
Permanent costume. That's great. It's weird, actually, that Americans like Halloween so much, because, like, they must have Halloween completely different to me, because around my way, like, Halloween was just a series of people going out egging houses.
Yeah.
Just basically turning up on doorsteps going, trick or treat. That's not good enough. It's just biscuits. Your house is getting egged in about 5 minutes.
Half the time they didn't even dress up.
No.
Just knocked on your door.
Bin liner on you.
Yeah, we had a mate called John that put on a bin liner and went around someone's house asking for money. He just robbed people with a bin liner on. And that was my Halloween. Yeah. I'm very drunk. Continue, Ken.
Oh, man. Well, you guys have been missing out, because when I was a kid, Halloween involved, like, massive sacks of candy. Yeah. You know, like, every house you went to, you get another handful of candy, so you'd end up with an extra bag with all the candy, so you could pretend you didn't have any, you know, and be like, look at me, no one's given me any candy yet. But secretly, like, my mom would be there with, like, this massive stash on the side, and I'm going,
but you guys really go for it for a month, don't you? Because it's a huge thing.
It's a big deal, yeah.
It is a big deal, because the whole month of November, I can remember being out in the States and working for a certain mouse-based organization.
Right. No.
Do you know what?
Rodent killing.
Yeah, I was out working, Rent-A-Kill USA. But but literally they were sort of planning. Is it November? Is it October or November? Because November's Thanksgiving, isn't it? So it's whatever.
31st of October. 31st of October.
Yeah, yeah. But they would, yeah, they'd be planning it all month. It was a bizarre thing.
It does. It shocks me because everyone that used to come round our house, they'd always have to be accompanied with like parents and stuff because they didn't trust who was giving them the candy and stuff like that. So it was always a case of let me see what sweets you're giving them.
Well, there's always one weird house where you're like, oh, don't go there. You know, they stick needles in the Snickers bars or whatever.
Oh gosh,
has anyone ever done that? Genuinely, is there a person who went, I'll get them back this year? Enjoy. Oh dear. That's crazy. But, yeah, no, Halloween. I'm going to have to do it in America at some point. So when did you start your musical career? When did you start singing? And
I've been singing since I was a little kid. But professionally, I sing in London, mainly at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club. I have a monthly club night there that I run, which is all, like, 1940s and 50s vintage music. Yeah. It's called Live and Let Jive, everybody. Anyway, so I professionally in London about 10 years now.
Fantastic.
And the club night's been going for just over 7 years, which in the jazz and blues world is like 50 years for anybody else. So yay!
I'm always intrigued by people. Like, I've always kind of grown up like within the arts. But what kind of made you want to take it to a professional level? Because there's always a point where people ever have their talents, but then it's like, oh, I need to get 9 to 5. I need to pay some bills. I need to. So, what made you go, no, I'm gonna do this?
Well, I mean, I've tried like all sorts of different jobs as side jobs, and inevitably they end up taking over completely, and you're going, but I really want to do that. And the fact is, you know, you don't want to be miserable in your life, right? You want to be doing stuff that makes you happy, that's fun, and it's not really about paying the bills. And I told my landlord that last month. And
I can't pay my rent, but I feel terrific. Here is a picture of me smiling. That is enjoy.
Putting a down payment on the rent just by singing a song.
That's got to be worth at least 50 quid.
Excellent. So, obviously, you're up in Edinburgh now and you've brought a show up. I believe, I've got it written down here, it's Geek to Goddess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What's the process in terms of bringing an actual show up rather than, say, your usual club night? Is that something that you have to... You particularly structure about what kind of stuff's going to go into that show, or is it off the hoof kind of thing?
I signed myself up for Edinburgh because I wanted to give myself a deadline for some actual writing. Because in my real job as a singer, I do tend to do a lot of songs that people recognize so that they can dance to it and they're going to have a great night and they're not going to be worrying about, ooh, do I know these lyrics? What's this song? I don't know if I like this, you know. But for this show, I wanted to write stuff. I wanted to make myself write a whole show worth of songs. So I wrote 15 songs and a bunch of narrative. And the Geek to Goddess is basically because I was a really geeky little kid and I was really into math and science and kind of a bit of a tomboy and turn your phone off. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Oh, he threw it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that is a gentleman, you know, not only turning it off, but chucking it across the room.
Is it my mum calling me? Because I text her.
That's the DNA specialist.
Dave Benson Phillips has got a BlackBerry and it just cheers me up for some reason. I don't know why. Didn't know what phone I would picture him with, but a BlackBerry I quite like. Are you on BBM quite a lot? Using emojis?
I don't even know what that is.
No one does. Yeah. No.
Thank you for taking the mickey out of my phone.
They wasn't taking the mickey.
He's not taking it away. He likes it.
Well, really? Yeah. If you're into antiques, it's great. It's not a bad phone, this one. You know, it does me.
Anyway, enough about your phone.
Yeah, please. Because actually, thank you. Because, do you know what? I want to find out more about you, so I'm going to ask you a few questions.
I want to know more about your BlackBerry.
Some of the names in there, definitely.
So come on. Tell us more about yourself. So, the Geek to Goddess, you were into your maths and everything. And
I was like a really fat little kid and really nerdy and kind of immersed myself in stuff on television and films and musicals and just and anyway, so I'm up here with this show of all originals, and some of them are on my album actually, and I brought you an album, Johnny. Oh, and I should have brought it on a USB stick, because I realized like CDs are actually really retro these days. Yeah. But anyway, that's your little present for me. Oh, it's my brand new album.
Nice. What have you
Luckiest
got?
Girl
what
have you alive.
Yeah, where's mine? Guy, where's
your... Oh, mate, is this what you, you're playing the rent with this anyway, aren't you? Well, I've got your rent. Totally. It's 5 CDs. Excellent. So obviously you would have heard Ian and Dave have been through the gauntlet up to now. You are on stage. So you are going to have to answer the big question.
The big question.
The big question.
Oh. Are you ready to deal with that, Kai?
I will do my best.
Okay, right. Let's get a big question out. Right. So, Kai. This one. Do you think that you could kill anybody? And if so, how would you do it?
Wow.
That is a big question.
That is a big question. You know what? I think I probably could.
Right.
And I think I'd probably do something really devious because I'm female. So I'm just going to go with that stereotype. Sorry, feminists. Anyway, I think I'd probably like poison somebody or something, you know.
Right.
Something like, and I mean, it'd have to be somebody that I really hated. So, you know,
she's going for the one of those Game of Thrones kind of deaths.
Yeah,
poison
totally.
Them. Just watch them.
So let's come, let's come up with a really obscure scenario.
I can't believe
right?
you've asked me that.
You know, your landlord comes around, he wants his rent. Okay. You haven't paid for months because you're singing all the time. He shows up at the door. What do? You poison him, do you?
Well, I like my landlord. I mean, that's weird, isn't it? But yeah, I suppose I'd have to.
Right, okay. Know. If that does ever happen, okay.
I'd have to just like bury him under the floorboards or something.
Awesome.
He's like, oh, I don't want to be sitting next to her anymore.
Yeah. No one asked you how you dispose of the body afterwards. you've got off on that tangent on your own.
How did we get from KY to death? I mean,
that sounds like an album.
KY to death.
That is a question people have been asking themselves for years. How did we get from KY to death? This party has really got out of hand. Let's get K around and she can stick them all under the floorboards.
Definitely.
Okay, I got another big question.
Big question.
Big question. Big question for you. Okay. If you could rewind time to go back to any point in your life, what point would you go back to change?
To change? Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Quite deep.
That is quite deep.
It's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, my mind's just gone to like my first high school dance that I went to, mm-hmm. and I was sitting there against the wall, wishing I was dancing. It's a typical sort of high school story, you know, but watching somebody dancing with somebody else and being, I wish I was them. But, you know, he was like a footballer and I had a crush on him. And, you know, I was a geeky band nerd, so I wasn't allowed to cross that barrier. So I think I'd go back and I'd make myself a cheerleader and I'd be like, hey, baby. And I'd go up to him and, you know, and I'd grab him and dance with him.
Isn't this the plot
do.
To a teen movie?
I mean, I swear I've seen this one.
No, man. I can see the dress and everything.
10 things I hate about you or something like that.
Get out of my fantasy, Johnny.
You're not the high school guy.
And I'm just standing there looking like Julia Stiles. And I'm like
then KY, then death.
Awesome. So no, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Right, it's time to get our next guest on.
Oh my god!
We got more.
Yeah, it seems like a dream team up here, but we're about to crank it into hyperdrive now.
I've never done a podcast where there's more podcasters than audience.
We outweigh them. If a fight does kick off, I back us. We've got the numbers. Definitely got the numbers. Okay, guys, what we're going to do is we're going to get our final guest on now. We have the wonderful, excellent... Oh, let me get the drum roll on. The wonderful, excellent Melanie Rashbrook, who is the director of Mixtape.
Yes.
Yes, she is.
You know, this drum Someone naturally comes to. There you go.
Yeah.
Naturally comes to end.
There we go.
Hello, Melanie. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Hey. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I'm furious.
Yeah. It's nice to see you.
Oh dear. He's sobering up now, so stay out of the way.
So hot, and I shouldn't have eaten that donut.
It's good to have you here, though, Melanie. And I see you've brought some of the cast from Mixtape as well.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring a posse along.
Look
so
at that.
Yeah, there we go.
Excellent. Thanks for coming, guys.
Hi, Mixtape. Good stuff. Do you go around Edinburgh together in a posse?
Yeah, pretty much. I can't go around Edinburgh alone. I just bring them everywhere with me.
That's the best way to roll around. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a real gang, that is.
Oh, yeah.
hanging out on street corners and stuff in a big posse, yeah. Just as people walk past, just pushing them about, you've been mixtaped. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. We might use that one now. Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
No, really. I've seen your show. I saw it this week, and I think it's great. But for those that don't know the concept, can you explain the concept of Mixtape?
Sure thing. Okay, so Mixtape, it's kind of a comedy sketch show. But it's also part music quiz. So we use the lyrics from songs and we reshuffle those lyrics to form sketches. The audience comes along and plays in teams and tries to guess the song that the sketch is from and the band and artist that it's from. And then you might win, if you do win, the golden mixtape, which is our highly coveted prize, much like a Blue Peter badge. Bold statement, yeah. I know.
Speaking of Blue Peter badges, I never ever got one.
No. I've got like loads.
I'm pretending I don't know what that is.
You got one? Yeah.
So Blue Peter was this it's kind of a big show in all kids in Britain, like we all know what Blue Peter is. It's big on CBBC and has been going for about, how long has it been going up?
For 50 years.
Something stupid like that. Okay.
Thank you for the translation.
It's not very. It's not very good now.
Just burning bridges.
That is a man who is very confident in his own career.
Have you learned nothing from Dave?
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah. Definitely not my son.
Dave once slagged off Blue Peter. Next thing you know, he's being said that he's dead.
I presented Blue Peter once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now he's showing off.
Oh, yeah.
All right, mate. Sorry, I didn't get recognised in Tesco's that time. Yeah.
Sainsbury's weren't listening.
So about this mixtape show. So about this mixtape show and you're singing.
Who are you selling it to? The audience or people that are in the show?
So Melanie, is this your first year to bring a mixtape to Edinburgh?
Yeah, it's our first year bringing a mixtape to Edinburgh. So we're based in Newcastle, so we normally do the show at a theatre venue called Life Theatre. So that's where we kind of normally based. But yeah, this is our first time up at the Fringe. So
What's the kind of challenges that you found like having to bring the show to Edinburgh? Because obviously you wouldn't have done it before, like different audiences maybe? Or?
Oh yeah, completely different audiences. And we're doing a rotation of 6 different shows. So that's been a bit crazy because we have different music themes each night. So we do a rock and roll 50s night. We do kind of all different Britpop, boy band versus girl bands, mega mixes. So just getting that kind of all together is quite fun and tricky to kind of do.
So how many people does it take to do this? Because I mean, I see you've got a posse up there, but yeah. Is this part of the posse or is this the entire posse that do it?
Well, we've actually had a rotating cast, so we keep re-rehearsing as the
what?
Week goes on. Yeah, wow. So we have
make it easy for yourself.
I know. What am I doing? I'll change it next year. We have 12 mixtapers all in total and they've rotated the whole time, so they keep changing and we keep re-rehearsing it.
Good grief.
Because you guys do different kind of songs and sketches each show, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, people come back. So we've had quite a few people who are real quiz fans that come back and play it again and again so that they can kind of, come to a different show and it might be very different. So
Decent.
And they can be some very competitive people, can't they?
Oh, yeah. People who get really into it get really frustrated if they get it wrong. And also we've had some people that query things because when we do the 50s show, so many people have covered some of the tracks as well. So you get that kind of thing happening where people are like, no, it wasn't written by them. It was written by, and all of that. So
get a real niche market. They know exactly when it was written and how it was recorded and by whom and what studio and what time of day. And it gets pretty intense.
Yeah.
I don't, though. Don't look at me like that.
I was thinking to myself, you could you could have talked yourself into being an expert for the panel just in case, you know, Stuart's inquiry, and then they just go, oh yeah, just pass it. Fountain of knowledge in a great looking dress. It'll be wonderful.
So Melanie, obviously you would have seen up to now, this show is renowned for, you know, like Jeremy Paxman style, like big questions.
Big question.
It does make some people uncomfortable.
It is the question of bigness.
Are you ready to deal with this?
I'm ready. Okay. I'm prepared.
Good stuff.
Ish.
Okay. If you could be reincarnated as any animal, what would it be?
A donkey.
Straight away.
Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
She wants one of those long ones to just drag across the ground.
It's like she's read these already. She's
I really like donkeys. Mm. I really like donkeys.
I was about to say, why?
I really like Eeyore. It's all from like a childhood thing of having a cuddly toy Eeyore when I was a kid. So.
Oh, Eeyore's great.
Yeah, so it's just a love of Eeyore, really. Yeah, so I actually want to be Eeyore, not a real donkey, a cartoon donkey.
So you want to be a fictional cartoon character?
Yeah, there we go.
Slash teddy bear.
Pretty much.
Excellent, because I do know that after watching some of those adverts for the donkey appeals, where their hooves haven't been cut and they're bowing back on themselves, it's not like Eeyore there. They're not having fun, you know, and that's what you've chosen. You could have been an eagle, okay, and you're on an advert now going, please help. Yeah. So you're still sticking with donkey?
I'm sticking with it, yeah.
Interesting. Sure. Yeah. Sorry, though, guys. Donkeys are renowned for getting worked into the ground.
Like they work them and then they put them down once they can't work.
Yeah.
No more.
They stop working when they die, and that's what you're signing up to.
Was Eeyore not?
She did bring six shows with her to the Fringe.
Rehearsing every day.
Was Eeyore not famous for his main character trait was he was really sad? Yes. Is that not what it was?
Yeah, I like his sadness.
You are intriguing me. I want to be a hard-working, depressed animal. Yes.
Yep. Just like Keira Knightley and Bend It Like Beckham. Wow. Wow.
Awesome. You got a big question, Arnel?
I do have a big question. Okay.
If the answer's donkey, I'm going to leave.
I'll try.
If you could be the opposite sex for one day, what would you get up to that you couldn't get up to being a woman?
Oh, that is a really big question.
And we've got a couple of questions. Got a few kids entertainers here, so yeah. keep it from being blue, please.
Oh, I don't actually know. I'm trying to think of something that you can't do. Can't we do everything?
Peeing on the street.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Well, ooh, I'm
wicked.
Not sure that's the top. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's
okay.
Wicked.
Well, it's wicked. Okay.
It's
okay. Yeah. I could be convinced.
Yeah, no, it's decent. Mm. That and basically weeing in the urinals and actually weeing through the middle little hole, like so the froth
comes
out the side.
Do you know what? I thought this is what men think about all the time, and it is.
Oh, there we go.
Taking stuff that's on the toilet off. Target practice. That's
yeah, absolutely.
See how I like
this
it.
Is
all
why
the
we
women,
should always have
all the women
toilets.
Like that's disgusting. All the boats are like, that's not even comedy. That's just a thing that everyone does.
And as I'm doing it, I just go, "Women, you can have your feminism, but you'll never have this. This is for us."
Every time you do it.
Every time. Then I pull up my fly and walk out. so you can do that.
Yeah.
There's lots of perks.
I could be sold on this. Okay. Let's go with that.
Excellent. You're going to go with the weeing in urinals.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Excellent.
There we go. A donkey that wees in urinals. It's fine.
I've got one more. Right, yeah, we've got time. We can do this for everyone as well. One more big question, okay? Big question.
For everyone.
For a group, right, okay. If you had to lose one of your senses, which one would you lose?
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. We'll go round. We'll start with you, Melanie.
Okay, smell.
Smell? And why?
I don't know. I think that's the one I could lose.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
When you're a hard-working donkey, you don't need
it
anyway,
do you?
You
don't need that sense of smell, do you? So, yeah.
Smell?
Yeah.
Dave?
Decency.
That is brilliant. Did you have that stored up? You just thought of that. That's brilliant.
There you go.
That's so good.
You don't even need to explain that one.
A long time ago, I wanted to be a writer for comedians. Yeah, I've got them all in here.
Oh, man.
These are all the ones that they never paid for. So there you go. Yeah, decency. A sense of decency.
Yeah. Good work.
That's,
there you go.
That's
going to
be hard.
Boom!
Absolutely justified.
Yeah. Ian Sterling?
I don't know the names of them.
Touch,
you were on kids'
smell,
TV and you don't know the
sight,
senses.
Yeah, exactly. Sound. Yeah. Your five senses, they're five.
I like eating food. And that list is involved in eating food. Touch. You need to smell food, you need to see food, you need to taste food, mate. Yeah. You're not touching food, right? So that's my answer. Yeah?
Bulletproof logic.
This is an absolute joke.
God. Can someone get him back to Weatherspoons now, please? Sorry to say, he's gone.
This country.
And what sense would you most like to lose?
I don't really want to lose any of them.
Oh, no, you don't want to. No,
I was going to say irony, but he took that joke already. Oh, so. Right.
I like that, though.
Good irony. Good.
Well, probably my I don't know, sight, probably.
Lose
what? I would probably lose my sight because tasting things and smelling them and touching them is really important to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's all I'm going to say.
You do realise that was a real shock ending. That was like, you know, Kaiser Soze stuff.
Kaiser Soze.
Right, guys, you've all got 10 seconds each to plug your shows up here and your little Twitter handles if you want. So, Kai, where Twitter?
Okay, well, my show up here, we've got two more shows. It's From Geek to Goddess. It's hashtag Geek to Goddess. I am at Kai Hoffman on Twitter. And if you Google KAI, jazz singer, you'll find me on the internet, and I'll see you there.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Ian.
My name is Ian Sterling, and if you can't find me on Google, I don't want you at my show.
Perfect.
Dave. Okay, Get Your Own Back Live is at the Gilded Balloon, 4:30, every day run until the end of the run. We will be gunging absolutely every grown-up in sight.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Mixtape, we're on at 10:20 every night at the Underbelly, and it's at UK Mixtape on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, we've been Johnny and Arnell. This is Johnny and Arnell live and loud from the Fringe.
That's right.
I'm at Johnny I. Cochran.
And Johnny and Arnell live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Joey Page. Sounding bloody Toya Wilcox, everybody.
Hey, I really enjoyed working with you. You were a breath of fresh air because you just came in and with your bibbidi bobbidi hat and shook up the energy, and you did it in such a lovely way. You didn't do it like a troll, and I just really respected that.
From 1 p.m. every Wednesday, this is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.